Hello, this is Dale Dreps with St. George Episcopal Church in Lady Lake, Florida. Today, as a part of our Getting to Know the Episcopal Church podcast series, I'm interviewing Mr. Eric Guzman, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Central Florida. Welcome, Eric. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you for inviting me. I've been looking forward to it.
Terrific. Well, let's just jump right in. So tell us a little bit about your background, Eric.
Well, my background in communications goes way back to when I was a junior in high school. I had an interest in radio broadcasting, and I was part of a career shadowing program where I was able to go to a local radio station, Light Rock 99.3 FM in Cocoa. And I worked with the DJ, sat with him all day. And I loved it. It was everything that I hoped it would be. And I just fell in love with radio. And I said, I'll come back. I'll empty trash cans if you'll let me keep hanging out here. And they let me come back. I, you know, started volunteering, working on liner cards and, you know, AM board op for, you know, high school football games. All of that progressed to where by the time I was 19, I was working full time in radio. And I was at another station in Brevard County, 107A1A. Out of Melbourne, and I was doing nights and just living the radio dream. So I put college on hold for a little while I did that for a few years, and then went back and got my degree in communications. And while in college, had a pretty dramatic conversion experience. And when I'm getting ready to graduate with my communications degree, radio, TV, track, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to go back to, radio and, just work at local radio stations. And how could I apply this to ministry? So I got into ministry, right out of college. I was working with Dr. Bill Bright on World Changers Radio. I was working at Z88.3 here in Orlando, and that progressed to a position that I grew within for 20 years, where I ended up serving as VP of Communications at Key Life Network out of Maitland, Florida, the Bible teaching ministry of Steve Brown, and started there as a producer for his talk show. And during the time there, I got my MBA and my responsibilities the experience that I gained there was so valuable. Responsibilities grew to cover management of the various elements of the ministry. And during that time, podcasting took off and the internet and, all that we can do now with social media and marketing and took a real interest in branding and marketing and, skills grew there. And then when I left Key Life, I went to work in, I wasn't in ministry for a few years, and I worked with a local production company and worked in digital media and project management, a lot of branding and marketing work and video production as well. So that's a bit of the quick overview.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of diverse experiences. And how did you find your way to the Diocese of Central Florida then?
Well, while I was at Key Life, I was also attending seminary. And I was attending Episcopal Church. I really fell in love with liturgy. And in 2016, actually, I became aware of an opening, I think, at that time for a communications person. I don't know if it was the director of communications or communications coordinator. And I was interested in the position at that time. And I thought, wow, this could really work well together. I was actually in the discernment process for the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. While I was working on seminary, I was exploring those possibilities. And I thought, communications, ordination, it could all really work together. My love for liturgy and growing love for the Episcopal Church. And so that was really when I first became interested in working for the diocese. And then they ended up going with they outsourced the role basically to a company, and that went on for a few years. And then, you know, when I heard in 2020 that you know, they really needed a full time person, they weren't with this company anymore, and they had somebody just, you know, part time. And she had moved away, so she was remote, which was working, you know, during COVID. But they really needed a full time person. And when I heard about that, kind of re-engaged with the conversation, and by that time, you know, from 2016 to 2020, my skill set grew so much, and from the time that I learned so much at Key Life, really broad set of skills were developed there. But when I went out and was working in digital media outside of ministry, I just picked up so much. And by the time, and one thing in particular was, you know, virtual conferences and virtual events, and some more intense web development work too, and video. So, you know, when I was talking to them in 2020, they had these conferences coming up. They had the clergy conference coming up that they're going, how are we going to do this virtually or hybrid? And then we have an annual convention coming up. How are we going to do that virtual? And I'm like, I have the answer.
So it sounds like your skill set, it almost sounds like you were really prepared for this new role that they had created. So tell me a little bit
about... It was just such a perfect fit. It was really just that's what it was. You know, the timing was right. The fit was right. And so it was just a match made in heaven.
That's right. With a little guidance from God's hand, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. So now tell me what some of our listeners may not really understand what a director of communications does. Can you just take one moment and explain what your goals are as a communications director for the Diocese of Central Florida?
Yeah. Well, the goals were really specific, you know, coming into the position. And it was really because of the immediate need for these virtual conferences, the virtual clergy conference and the annual convention coming up. So my goal and goals were initially related to that. And so we had to pull that off. We had to bring in the technology. You know, we had to, you know, solve a lot of the issues that we're going to be involved with. You know, how are we going to pull these things off? So I think early on, I was checking the boxes on the events. But I did have some long-term goals. And I'll talk about those, and then I guess get back to the original question of what does a director of communications do? But maybe they'll kind of tease out as I talk about it as well. But so the diocese, as I saw it and watched it over the years, and I did some communications consulting for the diocese over the years too, I should say that, the diocese was relying on print heavily. A large portion of the budget was being spent on the Central Florida Episcopalian newspaper, and they were using print to distribute the news. And at the same time, the website had gone through various changes over the years and additions, and it became kind of a patchwork quilt, and, you know, it started to look dated, and I wanted to come in and shift some of the budget from print to digital media. And so a complete website redesign is one of my goals. We're in the process of working on that now. And it's really rethinking the whole thing. What is the purpose? And we're doing some branding work too. So we're starting with, brand strategy and really understanding the audience and letting that then progress into design and, colors and fonts and being very intentional about all of it. So, that branding work, the shift to digital to focus on not only the website, but email newsletters, ways to, get the information out instead of relying on a print newspaper that was, I think, 6 times a year. And then at the same time, another goal was I didn't want to abandon print. I do find print is valuable. I think getting when you receive something at home in the mail from an organization or a person that you care about, I mean, that's something special. We see, we're just bombarded by so much information online that those things can really stand out, when you receive those things at home. And so what I wanted to do with print then was, since that is something special, I wanted to really make it feel like premium content. And so transitioning from a newspaper to a magazine, that was another goal. And so achieved that with the Advent edition at the end of 2020. And then we just released our Easter edition of the magazine here. So checking off some boxes, still have some serious work to do online. But those have been some of the tasks at hand. I think, overall, a director of communications is going to manage the internal communication needs of the organization, within the diocesan office, but then also support the communication efforts of the, in the case of the diocese, it's going to extend to the parishes within the diocese to support their communication efforts. And then, the communication between the diocese and the parishes, because there are things like annual conventions and ordinations and, leadership development. And there are all these various tasks and functions, within the diocesan office. As we serve the bishop and his vision for the diocese. There are all these events and tasks that require communication in the process, whether that's going to be promoting an upcoming event or recording ordinations, services, and then taking that content and making sure that, we kind of follow the COPE principle of create once and publish everywhere, and make sure that we're, using that content in various channels. So it's really facilitating good communication. And I think a big goal, beyond some of those things that I mentioned is, I really want to bring the website to a place where it's a trusted resource for the leadership within the diocese, for the clergy and lay leaders to, go there to be supported in their mission locally to their neighborhoods, and to also learn from each other so that we can lift up what's going on in various places in the diocese and say, look at this, even something like a bulletin, here are some great examples of bulletins, look what they're doing. You could learn from that. You could, implement some of these things, or here are some best practices from the diocese for video production, for services. Here are some things that this church found that you could benefit from, and to really be that resource that helps as we all kind of are stretched to change in our changing times. COVID has pushed the churches within the diocese to adopt video like nothing else could have. It's just not, you know, we don't have these kind of mega churches with big production facilities and, you know, communication departments. And, you know, we don't put on rock shows, you know, with lights and, you know, fog machines. You know, I mean, some churches, that's great. That's what they do, but we're just not, we don't lean that way, you know? And mm-hmm. So it's been a real challenge. And I think, you know, learning from each other, and I want to facilitate that, learning from each other is going to be important, because we are a diocesan family, and it's, you know, we don't have to go it alone. And I want the website to be a hub for that.
Yes. In fact, I know from my experience with St. George, boy, when we got locked down, we were using our iPhones and tripods to record the service in an empty sanctuary. Then, even worse, we had to totally shut down, and we were using Zoom to pull in people from, you know, the clergy from their lanais and their backyards. And now finally we have found a wonderful live streaming service that, of course, their business grew with the pandemic, but their business had been primarily high schools and municipalities who had repeated events in the same location week after week, which of course fits the church model. And we signed up for that with them, and we've been very happy with what they've been able to do for us. And we've been able to reach all of our shut-in parishioners in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and their homes. So mm-hmm. it really has made a difference. And being able to compare notes with other congregations, you know, how are you dealing with this, is just so valuable, really, really valuable. Also, I'd just like to point out, I worked in the news and information business for 40 years.
And oh,
yes, my last gig was at the Wall Street Journal. And so I remember, and I know how important that transition is for print. You know, it's not the most timely. So you need to marry it with the website or an e-newsletter, and then find the right place for the printed page. And switching from a newspaper to a magazine seems like a really good solution for that. So congratulations on that success.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just, if you're doing something every other month in the way of print, that's a big delay if you have some urgent information that you need to get out. So I think delivery of information using digital channels really makes a lot of sense. And then use print for that premium content that's, you know, I liked it with the magazine. I started thinking of it in terms of Bishop Brewer's, you know, five pillars of his strategy, and like, okay, let's highlight what's happening in each of those pillars with inspiring stories. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about the information, it's more about inspiration and having a, you know, a premium feel. Mm-hmm. And then take the information delivery to where you can be most effective. And like you said, timely.
Great. Now, I have two more questions, and I don't want to take too much more of your time. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
I wonder if you could just briefly tell me about this first virtual diocesan convention. I understand it was very successful. Tell me, how did you do this? What were the challenges you faced, and how did you overcome them? I know that's more than a 1 minute answer, but.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, I might need more than 2 minutes. I would say some of the highlights, as far as the challenges, were remote voting. How are you going to pull that off? The video production itself, I felt pretty comfortable with. But it's how do you then incorporate the interaction that's required with a convention? And so a platform like Zoom, you know, makes sense versus the platform that we used for clergy conference, Hopin, which is more of, you know, that viewer experience. We had to have a way for people to, you know, interact should that need arise within the meeting. And then I think the other big, two big challenges. One was the virtual choir. Bishop Brewer was like, you know, it would be so great if we could have a virtual choir as, you know, taking the place of the worship experience. And so figuring out how are we gonna pull that off? What are the resources? And just so pleased, and you'll see if you get the Easter edition of the Central Florida Episcopalian, a little write-up about that process of putting the virtual choir together. That was a challenge. And then I think the other thing was communication. You know, how do you get the information about you? Now you have your platform for voting. How do you train people to use that? How do you let them know? And so it was making sure that we're getting the news out, whether that's through the Canon News or emails or, you know, let's set up, we'll make sure that we get some information out during the pre-convention meetings. And then let's have a time where we can actually try it out, you know, before we go into the event itself. And I think that was really important, you know, to get people familiar at one level, get them hands-on, then go into the actual event itself. So, and then overall, how did we overcome those challenges? I didn't do it alone. We overcame them as a team. I mean, it stretched us, it grew us. We brought in some contractors at Comco for the actual, you know, video production itself, which I think they do a great job. Looked great with the LED wall and, you know, all of the that they brought to the production value. So it was team effort to overcome those challenges. Big learning curve, steep learning curve for me. I had to start understanding about how voting works within the diocesan, you know, system.
It sounds like a wonderful challenge. And think of all the things you've learned and you can apply them in the future, because virtual conventions and meetings, while I hope we can go back to in-person meetings, large-scale meetings, soon, I don't think they will completely go away. And that technology will find applications in other areas. So yeah. I'm sure it will all pay off in the future.
It was a great introduction to the life of the diocese. I mean, it was baptism, and I like to say, not sprinkling, full immersion.
Right. Absolutely, full immersion. For my last question, tell me, what are your next priorities, Eric?
I'm focused right now on the website redesign and the branding work. And we have a three-stage branding process that I go through. And we are in the middle of the second stage right now. So it goes from brand strategy to brand design to an actual brand guide that then gives us the, keeps us on the rails when we're doing the design, you know, and then we apply design for the site itself over the structure that we've been working on, you know, in parallel with the branding work. So there've been a lot of interviews with the staff, with priests, with parish admins, you know, to say, how are the various stakeholders using the website? Where they're not using it because they don't find it helpful, we help them just kind of say, okay, let's use our imagination, cast some vision. Like, what could it do? Like, if it did this, would you then use it? And how would that make your life easier? So, and then also some work that's going to kind of support some of the integration for the website is going to be a focus here this year. And it's making sure that we've got a strong, well-organized database so that we can always have the most recent information displayed online and being fed by the database itself through an API, rather than keeping the information in one place and also over here, like have them talk to each other. So make sure that database is pristine, because it will be feeding the public face through the website. So those are some big challenges.
Oh, it sounds like it. But based on all the things you've accomplished in your short time as Director of Communications for the diocese, I have every confidence that you will achieve those goals.
Thanks so much. Sure. Appreciate that. It's encouraging.
Really, this was so educational for me. I really appreciate your spending the time. And so thank you, Eric, very much. Also, I'd like to thank our listeners, our podcasts in the Musings on Faith series from St. George, and specifically Getting to Know the Episcopal Church. I hope all of you at home have found this information really useful. Stay tuned for more. We have lots of plans for many new podcasts to help keep you informed of what the Episcopal Church is doing to support your faith. All right. Thanks very much, everybody. Thank you, Eric. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Take care now.